the Tom Likas Show.
Chicks rarely develop their brains. They don't have to.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No, you didn't.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowtheuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you. It's me. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us here in studio, as he does every Tuesday, Attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you.
Baby.
What's happening?
Another exciting week.
Boy, they're all exciting. Well, you have an exciting job.
I guess.
Stuff keeps happening.
It keeps getting weirder and weirder. I don't know about exciting.
Now, Adam is here in his guise of criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. He's talking criminal law here. And those of you who've got these kinds of problems, whether you've been accused of a DUI or somebody thought they found your weed in your car, or maybe
someone else's weed in your car.
Somebody thought they saw you with a butcher knife doing something you shouldn't have been doing with it. Actually, it wasn't you. Who knows?
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. And as we hear from these calls, we get every possibility. You can start dialing right now to talk to Adam. And we recommend you call early in the hour, because what people do every week Adam is on is the bulk of the calls come in at 55 minutes into the hour. And then we end up staying until like 7:20. Don't do that. Get your question answered now. You call this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the telephone number. 901-3000-866. You haven't seen that Malaysian plane, have you?
Unbelievable.
Just checking.
I read in the Iranian news, apparently, it was the United States. They did some secret thing to the plane to make it go away.
Really?
And people are dialing the phones or something, and they still ring. So they're alive, but they're like, you know, on an island somewhere or something. What do you think, Tom?
It was like a TV series?
I don't know. I heard it was the Jews, Tom.
Yeah, I've heard everything.
So, Tom.
Yes.
So I've got two lessons this week, okay? First of all, this is the coinciding of family law and criminal law we've talked about before. There was an interesting case this week. A California guy really, really, really wanted to stick it to his ex-wife. And they had kids, and he was actually pretty successful, apparently, in real estate. And so he got stuck with a big amount of child support and spousal support, and he didn't feel so good about paying it. So first of all, these are two lessons in one. He found himself a woman lawyer, which I've always said is a really bad idea. And second of all, he scammed his money. His lawyer helped him, so she's going down too, by the way. Anyway, so she scammed with him, and he put his money in all these different shell accounts, and then ultimately he declared bankruptcy, all as a scheme to say that he was broke and that he couldn't pay his child support.
Wow.
And his spousal. Well, the judge was not amused, Tom. He got sentenced this week to 17 years in jail.
17 years? How's he going to pay his child support?
Forget about it. I don't know if you remember, but a couple of weeks ago we had a guy call, and he was saying something along these lines, like, well, I don't care, I wouldn't pay it anyway. And I remember we said to him, yeah, you will, okay? They mean business, okay? And if you think you're going to be able to transfer around or play broke or whatever, and all the kind of scams that people think they can play, you can't. And this guy got slammed 17 years, and his lawyer also is going to jail.
All joking aside, though. You put a guy with kids in jail for 17 years. Is he also expected to pay child support?
Well, maybe he is. He's not going to be paying, obviously.
So, I mean, I wonder if the woman thought ahead before she pushed him.
Well, I think he wasn't paying her anyway. But the classic thing that I've seen is where the wife turns the ex-husband into the IRS, or she screws up his medical license, or whatever. And then in the end, of course, they lose everything. And so, therefore, he can't pay her anyway. I saw a case we studied in law school where the wife turned the husband into taxes, and they took away all of his money, but they also took her money, and they even took, like, the children's trust accounts and stuff. And they asked her, you know, you're penniless. You know, was it worth turning your husband in? And she said, Yes, of course it was.
Unbelievable.
That's the scorn of a woman, Tom.
Jesus.
So I was in Riverside Court the other day doing a case completely unrelated, and there's like camera trucks everywhere in Little Riverside, right?
I mean, you know, really?
Whatever happened in Riverside.
Was it time for that Route 66 classic car event or something?
I don't know. It was like, what's going on? Is this ABC and Fox with the satellite dishes and all
wow.
this? So anyway, you may have seen this thing on YouTube. There was this woman in her 20s who called her teacher who had molested her on the cell phone
and recorded
the whole thing.
We posted that video. We talked about that.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, it was the indictment of that woman. It was her arraignment.
Yeah.
And her name is Cardoza.
Yes.
And this is an interesting thing. I actually went in. It was a big crowd. And I actually saw her. And, you know, she had her lawyer and all that good stuff. And she just looks like a regular person. She was actually smiling and so forth.
Really?
But
let me ask you. You're a lawyer.
Well,
you'd be the right person to ask this
maybe.
Question. You saw that video.
Yes.
Now, this chick is now 27 years old, and
yes.
she calls up her gym teacher from when she was like 12
right.
and holds the iPhone up to the camera
yes.
and then proceeds to get the woman on the phone without telling her she's being recorded,
right.
gets her to admit to everything she did and say how sorry she is, blah, blah, blah. And then there are all these indictments coming down. My
yes.
question to you is
I was
is
just
this.
Getting to this.
Oh, yeah. How can you convict somebody when you recorded them secretly?
Well, there's a couple of important issues to be raised. I mean, I discussed this around, and we were there. Obviously, there's a lot of lawyers around, and a lot of people, and the cameras, and everything else. Everyone was very excited. There's paparazzi, Tom, with these cameras with these long lenses. I don't know what they're doing. They were standing right next to her. I don't know what these lenses are for. These like massive telephoto lenses, but. You know, the thing is, and this is something that people really have to get in touch with, and this sort of breaks off into a couple of different things I want to talk about today. First of all, and we've talked about this a lot, is the great adage, you know, shut the fuck up, okay? Apparently, she was taken in and questioned by the police. Now, after all this time, like you say, from when the girl was 12 until she's now 27, there's no physical evidence. There's no chain of evidence. There's no proof. It's beyond statute of limitations on a lot of things, probably. The recording she made, that's a federal offense. You can't record someone on the phone without their consent, and that's not going to be usable as evidence. I don't see how you could possibly use it. So all this woman had to do was...
say nothing.
Shut up.
Right. Which women can't do.
Well, that goes,
sorry.
That goes without saying. Apparently... you know, they brought her in, and she had the urge
to
confess.
She sang like a canary.
It's not just singing. You know, singing like a canary to me is like telling on your associates, you know. Here she takes herself down. Now, my friends, if you want to confess, confess to a priest, okay?
Right.
Confess silently to God in prayer, okay? Tell your lawyer. That's a good person to confess to.
Write it in a diary.
Diary's great, okay?
Yeah.
But those guys with the badges and the guns, okay, those are not your friends. Those are not your father confessors. And I think, by the way, culturally, and this is different in other cultures, I think that people believe that if they tell the police that they're sorry, that that somehow means something. And that this wise judge
that's a
or whatever...
May I say that's a Catholic mentality.
Yes, but somehow if you confess
to them... Of course, so is molesting children.
Well,
so.
I'm getting to that in a second. In terms of being confessing... Somehow, the idea in court is there's a thing that people sometimes say, I'm pleading guilty with an explanation.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything, okay? And somehow that's going to be that you sit with the judge, and that's back to the, remember I told you, the judge who's this kind of wise old man in the easy chair, and he's got the pipe, you know. And you say, well, you know, Your Honor, I did it, but I'm sorry, and I realize the error of my ways. And the judge goes, oh, okay, you know.
Does that really happen in real life? I thought that was just in movies.
No, that's only in movies. In real life, the judge gives you 25 to life.
No, understood, but I wondered if people actually try that in the courtroom. Do they try saying that? They do.
People don't understand. I think it's very cultural, as I've said. Now, with respect to molesting, and this is really worthwhile and really worth raising. Okay, Tom, now this is what's lovely about not having the station behind us.
Yes.
And I think right now I'm dealing with the boss, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you are.
And the owner.
I'm the big kahuna.
And I didn't get the impression you were censoring us unless we were slandering people.
No!
Okay, so here it is, Tom. You know, most, and we're talking about the overwhelming majority, 90-plus percent of molesters of children are women. I mean, women have most of the access to children. And when you talk about who does child abuse, who molests children, it's women. They have pictures now on, I think, on Radar Online of Charlie Sheen's kids.
Right.
And they got big bruises and stuff. Well, that's from their mother. Okay?
It is?
Of course.
How do you know?
There's a whole thing. I mean, there's an investigation out at the DCFS. It's not a joke. The DCFS is the Department of Children and Family Services. So when you talk about who hurts children and what goes on in our society, this Cardoza, in terms of molesting this girl, and they oh, my, it's so salacious because it's like a lesbian thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But who do you think molests children? Women do. Okay?
But they do it because they get away with it.
Not only that, they're also more with children. They're more in contact with children. They have more opportunities. You know, when a man wants to be a first grade teacher, you know, people go, hey, what's with him? You know, what's it? Well, he's got a thing for children. Right away, there's some kind of, you know, clout on him. And they've actually shown in studies that it's very good, particularly for young boys in elementary school, to have a male teacher, to have a male role model, especially if they don't have a father at home. They have a teacher who's male. But it's something that in our society is discouraged in a lot of ways. And particularly in the younger grades, teachers are meant to be somehow women. It's assumed that they should be women or whatever. And when you look at these circumstances, people believe, for example, that rapes and molestations happen from strangers. I remember this as a child, my mother talking about, like, you know, the boogeyman or this man who jumps from behind a bush and grabs a woman and rapes her or whatever. This is nonsense. As you said about priests, children get molested by family members, by trusted friends, by people that know them and people that know in the family. And that's what goes on, and that's how it really works. And so when you talk about who people are afraid of, these are exactly the circumstances. And you see how this case I'm just talking about is so shocking to everyone, because in the recording, this girl calls the teacher, and you don't really understand what's, you know, when she does it, she doesn't explain what she's doing. And she says to the teacher, how could you do that to me? And what's fascinating is the teacher doesn't even hesitate. She says, I'm so sorry. I thought she's going to be, you know, who's this?
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I never touched you, you know? And then I figure she'll work on her and get her to, like, admit
it. The first thing I would think, if that were me, which it isn't, but if it were me, first thing I'd think is that this person is sitting with a cop in the room and that guy, like, with the FBI truck recording everything I'd say. I would never assume that somebody just called me up out of the blue and had a private conversation with me.
Yeah, very often when police are investigating, they will call someone or they'll have the victim call where the person who's the target or, you know, the suspect doesn't know there's an investigation yet. And I don't know if you remember it, but the one that Mike Tyson was accused of raping called him and started crying or whatever. Meanwhile, the police had it wired. And that's very common. That's a way that they're able to get people to start talking and start to, like, piece the details together. And if you had just said, you know, I don't know, who is this? Why don't you come over? I'll talk to you in person. I don't know who this is. Goodbye. Here, this woman immediately said to her, I'm sorry. I think about it all the time. I didn't mean to do it to you. Buried herself. Buried herself.
Knew her name.
Right.
I mean, right. It was not like she was talking to a stranger.
I think she might have molested also someone else.
Someone else has made that claim.
Yeah. But and I think the one that we know about, that girl with the recording, she was saying that it had been over a course of many years. So it wasn't like a couple of times or something. It was an ongoing story. So that's really bizarre. So then, it looks like Florida, a 14-year-old girl who must have been having sex when she was 13, apparently a petite girl got pregnant and her mother didn't notice. So you have a daughter who's really thin and petite, 5'3", 100 pounds, suddenly become very fat, particularly in her stomach area, and you don't realize she's pregnant maybe. Well, anyway, she gives birth and kills the baby right on the spot. Isn't that nice?
Wow.
And the same kind of thing, Tom. And again, this is with the female molester. Everyone's shocked. How can she do it? It's so wrong. And the Florida authorities are saying, we're really going to crack down on her. We're charging her with the first or second degree murder or premeditated murder. Well, anyway, She's getting a year and a half in a juvenile facility.
That's it?
That's it. And that definitely relates to that same context, which I'm referring to. And we don't know what's going to happen on this case. I mentioned this Cardoza. But I'm telling you, Tom, if it's a man, particularly when we've talked about the teachers and the students, when the man goes ahead and is the teacher and molests one of his students, a little girl who's 13 or 14, everyone has a stroke. But when it's the opposite, when the woman is the predator, and you see these hot teachers that were going after their 14-year-old male students, oh, he's lucky. Everything worked out for him. You know, he should be happy. He should be glad that the teacher was so hot for him, and he got this great experience of getting her pregnant and paying child support at 14.
Unbelievable. You know, I wonder about that stuff when it happens. You know, I'm amazed at what people get away with, according to gender.
What women get away with, Tom.
Well, yes. And I'm amazed how seriously men are punished. But, you know, you start to put the dots together, you know, men are becoming the villains in every possible way. We did the hour about ban the word bully. Ban bully. Ban it. Not bully. Correction.
Let's ban bossy.
Bossy. Five letters.
Bossy.
B ends of line. Bossy. Ban
right
bossy.
Right on, Rain Man.
Yes. Ban bossy. What is that all about?
There is a woman who lived in England whose name was Pizzy, okay? And she's credited with starting the first battered woman shelter, okay? And here she was, this, you know, feminist woman. She wanted, you know, women that were in violent situations to get help. And she started getting funds, and she built this shelter. And they started making a network of them in the United Kingdom, right? And she started talking to the women that were in the shelter, and she discovered very quickly that at least half the time, they were the aggressors, and they were the ones who started the violence, and that they were responsible for harming the men also, and they were beating one another up in a lot of circumstances. And a lot of times it was the woman who was the abuser of alcohol who then started fights with her husband, okay? And she started writing studies about this and publicizing these things. And Tom, she got run out on a rail.
Really?
Okay. They harassed her. They threw her out of the group. And ultimately, she had death threats. And someone came, get this, she had this dog that she loved. They killed her frickin' dog. Okay?
Oh, my.
How's that? And she ended up leaving England, moving to the United States because she was afraid. So you see how the narrative is very specific. And when we cross over and we start saying, hey, wait a second, this goes on the other way. You know that it's much more common for death row people, inmates that are facing death, to be African American. Why would that be? Why would that be? The society comes down harder on blacks. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's true.
And when you talk about between men and women, the same kind of philosophy reigns. And as much as women are screaming that they want to be equal, when a girl kills her baby, it's always, oh, the poor thing, she's mentally ill, she's confused. Did you see that lady that drove her SUV into the Atlantic?
Yeah, yes, I did.
You know, some of the people on the beach ran to the car to help the children, and she blocked them and pushed them. She didn't want them to rescue her kids. Now, obviously, she's pretty screwed up, right?
Yep.
But that's the emphasis. I wonder, what if a man had done that?
Well, you remember that Susan Smith story, which we spent a lot of time talking about.
Oh, I remember that one.
She strapped her kids into the back seat of her Mazda Protégé, rolled it off the pier. The kids were belted in their seatbelts.
Oh, God.
And then she went to the police and said that she'd been carjacked by a black guy.
Of course.
And sure enough, there she was on Good Morning America. I miss my kids. If anybody knows where my kids are, please let me know. And she knew where they were. She rolled them into the creek. She rolled them into the lake.
She sure did. Well, it was something about her, as I recall, was that she was dating a guy who told her that he didn't want to be with a single mother.
Right.
That he wasn't going to take responsibility of children.
By the way, you know how many times I've said that?
Well, the problem is
you think I'm kidding.
She thought that by killing her kids, she could get with that guy.
Well, I told the story, and I'm sure since you're kind of a student of the show, I'm sure you'll remember.
Oh, I know this one.
You know what I'm talking about.
You're gonna, okay, I'm guessing, okay?
All right.
This is, I'll give the kid to his father. Is that the story?
Right, I told the woman.
Keep you in the relationship?
I told this woman, who, by the way, was my producer and my girlfriend.
Wow.
Never did that again. But, all right, so there, she's the producer and the girlfriend.
That's what we have Gary for.
And so we are living together in my house in Miami. And then, you know, the station's about to be sold again, and the new owner's probably not going to be fans of my work. So I decided to move to a new gig in Phoenix.
Right.
And so when I said, okay, I'm packing to move, girlfriend said, well, all right, well, we got to start packing. And I said, not we. Okay, I. I am packing.
You're staying in Miami.
Yeah, well, you stay here. You have a job. Yeah. You'll be producing the show that replaces me or whatever, but I'm out of here. And so she said, well, why? Why? I said, look, to be honest with you, having a 9-year-old kid living in the house all the time and interfering with our relationship.
But wasn't he also a troubled kid, right? Wasn't he, like, having problems?
He was a genius and did not handle being taken away from his father that way.
Right.
So he decided to try to interfere in whatever we had.
Right.
I just couldn't take it anymore. So when I told her I couldn't take it anymore, she said, well, I'll just send him back.
Unbelievable.
I'll send him back to his father.
Was he a fucking appliance?
Father lived like 1,700 miles away. I'll just send him back.
No, what? So you just return him to the store?
So now I'm like, now I really don't want to be with you. You're going to send your son back to his father, who you told me was a jerk. You're going to send him back?
Course. You know,
to
his
father?
If she would do that to her own son, can you imagine what she would do to you?
Well, that's what I always say. And, you know, I have a consistent record of dumping people when they treat people like that. Because I say, you know, the first bit it's convenient for you to do that to me, that's what you're going to do.
What goes around comes around.
Right.
But Smith, you know, literally carried it out, I guess, that she thought if she killed her children, she'd be single and then, you know, she wouldn't have responsibility and then the guy would accept her. I think when a lioness meets a new lion and joins a new pride, she kills her cubs. If they're little, she kills them. So that then she'll have new cubs with the new lion.
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Now what we do is we just have kids and we just drop them off like souvenirs.
Give me grandma.
Wherever we've been. I told you I broke up with somebody. And here's what she said. Amazing, because I had no intention of having kids with her. She says to me, and I said, that's it. It's over. We're done. And she said, and we didn't even have a kid for me to remember you by.
God.
What is this, a fucking, like, Franklin Mint plate of Elvis? You're going to have a souvenir of our time together?
Remember you talked about the relationship museum where the woman
right.
had, I think, gifts from the guys
yes.
and all the different stuffed
this
animals?
This chick wanted to have a kid as we were breaking up so she could remember me by
right.
the... So now imagine, you have to look at, like, my face on
yeah.
a kid for the rest of your life
That's
after
amazing.
after I've dumped you.
That's amazing. I don't
Wouldn't
know
it be a good
I
idea to start
that.
Fresh?
You know, a lot of times in the last throes of a relationship, when you've already decided to break up, you do that goodbye fuck, and that's when she gets pregnant. I have
right.
a lot of guys tell me that.
Oh, no. I start backing out. I always have a game plan. And they start saying, come on, we haven't had a romantic evening in a while. And I'm busy setting up my new apartment somewhere.
I'll see you later. Very romantic.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, so maybe Valentine's Day, honey.
Well, I think it's great that we can challenge basic assumptions, Tom. And we talk about this, man. It just burns me. It just burns me.
All right, we're going to take some phone calls. We've got phone calls coming up here.
All right.
And Adam Sachs is here talking about criminal matters. So if you, we do have someone on the line who was pulled over for DUI. Somebody who learned his lesson with a public defender.
Uh-oh.
And more. Now, if you have a question for Adam, you can call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 listener Antonio Atoche and his brothers, and they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous pollo a la brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca, on West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91, and where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24-7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee on my fucking rug. Find us at newnormalrock.com and ask like tune in. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no broads, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug.
New normal rock.
Okay, boys. Let's talk about step-ups. That's step-ups. Top quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where step-ups come in. With step-ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, step-ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing step-ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95, and not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your step-ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking on air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get step-ups today.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, it's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We do this every Tuesday with attorney Adam Sachs. Adam is answering questions about criminal matters on this episode at 901-3000-TOM. Here we go, 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866. Ryan in Isla Vista. Isla Vista, by the way, just west of Santa Barbara. On the Tom Likas Show, big college town. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Brian.
What's up, Brian?
Hello, Adam.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Hope you guys are well also. So, on Friday night, I got pulled over for a burned out headlight.
Uh-oh.
I was completely sober.
Oh.
I was the designated driver, driving my drunk friends home. Still got asked to follow the flashlight with my eyes, which I refused to do.
Oh, good. Okay.
I refused to do.
Okay.
And so they called the supervisor officer as well as another car for backup. So they boxed me in. They're like, all right, the car smells like alcohol. You say it's because of your friends. Since you said you haven't had a single drink, why don't you just do the breathalyzer? And since I really wanted to get my friends home and I had not had a single drink, I thought, okay, if they if the officer blows into it and proves to me that it's calibrated to zero, I will do the breathalyzer just to get home because I know it'll be a zero.
So sure enough,
I blew it.
Wait. So you're negotiating with a cop. You said, I'll do it if you do it first?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's new. Okay.
With the supervisor. And he's like, I've been doing this 22 years. It's not going to come back zero if you've had a drink. I'm like, okay, well, let's do this. So I did it, and I got a 0.000 down to the thousandth of a percentage.
Okay.
And they're like, have a good night. So they just wrote me for my headlamp, and that's that. Fix the ticket.
I give you a lot of credit, man. That's pretty funny.
Well, my question is, did I make the right call to do the breathalyzer in that situation, given that I was totally sober?
I guess so. I don't know what to say about it. I mean, that's funny.
Because I knew you... I mean,
should he have made them take him in for the blood test just to fuck with them?
Well, they would have arrested him, probably.
Well, see, I really wanted to do that, but my friends were in the car, and they were getting anxious, and it was like,
I guess, if I was by myself,
I would have gone for the blood test.
No, I understand. That's one of those totality of circumstances things, you know. It hurts when you're in the situation where you've done the right thing and you're the designated driver. It's amazing that you say to the cops, hey, look, I didn't have even a drop. These are my drunk friends and I'm the designated driver and they still fucked with you, you know. That's really a shame. That's really not what one would expect, you know.
And I was totally respectful, though I was firm about, like, my boundaries and so forth. But I told them, look, there's drunk drivers. Like, this is closing time at the bars. The real drunk drivers are out there.
Don't ever say that to cops. Don't you have anything better to do?
All right, fine. Well, I won't do that again. But I said it.
How long have you lived in Isla Vista? They don't have anything better to do. Don't you know that?
No, but, Tom, if you start with a cop and you say, why are you hassling me? Oh, they're rapists and murderers, you know. Nah.
This was downtown, on State Street.
Yeah, I think I understand what you did. I think that you did okay. It wasn't that bad because, you know, you knew you hadn't had anything. I've had guys that had a couple of drinks or four drinks, and they think it's been a few hours, and they're hoping for the best. You can't play those odds, you know? But you got to protest your innocence. If you're talking to the cop and you're having this conversation and your friends are getting antsy and all this, you say, "Look, I'm really serious. I haven't had anything to drink. Can't you see I'm okay? I'm stone cold sober. You know."
I mean, I would hope he would. I was as sober at that moment as I am right now. And granted, you can't see how drunk I may or may not be, but I'm fairly coherent.
But they're trained. You know, they're supposed to know also. They're supposed to have experience.
I know. So. And that's why I told them, as a taxpayer, I'm disappointed that you're wasting your time with me.
Please don't do that.
Okay, fine.
That's the worst.
I could not resist.
Yeah, when you don't. That's the one thing you don't start with cops is, like I said, you know, don't you have anything better to do? And second of all, that, you know, I pay your salary with my taxes. Goddammit, that is not a good idea.
Well, they retreated pretty quickly when I blew it to 0.000.
Well, they'll put you in the jail and they'll say, look what else your tax dollars buy.
Oh fuck. So that, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that though, because you know, on any other given night, I may have had, you know, one drink and then drove like an hour or 2 hours later.
Right.
In which case, would you still tell the officer?
No, but you see that that's much more risky.
Well, of course.
And these machines, by the way, the machine is notoriously inaccurate. And you can have what's called a false positive, you know? Do you know how many people went to get an AIDS test and got a false positive and then, you know, committed suicide or whatever? I mean, you have to really be aware of technology and its great limitations. And when you talk about, you know, what you did, which is ballsy, I give you credit in that respect, but, you know, you're taking a big gamble on the machine. Now, the machine gave you 0.0 because that's what you were. But I don't know. I got mixed feelings about that machine. I don't think it's going to always do what you expect. And the cop had a hard-on for you. And you saying this stupid stuff about, you know, do something better, and I pay my taxes, I pay your salary. Please, please don't do that again, man. That's a good way to get shot.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even realize. Well, I appreciate that. But if I may finish my question, if I had had one drink, of course I'd refuse the breathalyzer test. But... And I'd go for the blood test in that situation.
Damn right.
But given that scenario, when they ask you, have you had anything to drink tonight, My concern of saying no would be that if they did do the blood test and they found, okay, you're under the legal limit, but you told us you had nothing to drink, and now you're registering 0.02, 0.03, 0.04, we're going to get you for wet and reckless. We're going to get you for disorderly conduct.
That's hours later, and you're going to be dealing with different people. Okay?
Okay. So, if you have had one drink and you know you're under the limit,
you do not get into the conversation with cops about.
You say I don't answer questions.
Say yeah, I don't want to deal with this. I'm sorry.
All right, cool.
Say with you know talk nice. With respect, officer, I decline to answer.
And that's it, Ryan. Thank you. 901-3000. Tom, here comes Ryan in Portland, Oregon.
All the other white meat.
Yes. On the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs.
I don't think you ever say Portland without throwing
they
that
They go
on.
Together.
Oh, Tom.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. What's going on? How are you? What happened? Tell me.
I got to tell you about public defenders.
Listen, before you tell me, honestly, I have never, ever come across someone who said, you know, I use a public defender, and I was really satisfied with the outcome. I just people don't say that, you know?
It happened, I mean, it was years ago. I just turned 21. I was going to a store. I saw some people I play softball with. They said, we're playing softball today. So I said, great. They said, well, you just turned 21. You can buy some. You can bring some beer. We went and got some beer, got pulled over. I got a ticket for contributing liquor to minors because they were 20.
You bought booze for a minor.
Well, yeah, we got pulled over, and the cop said, "Well, they're 20, you're 21, so you're getting a ticket for contributing liquor to minors."
Yeah, I would never even have thought of that. Tom, isn't that the classic thing from like American Graffiti? Where the guy stands outside the liquor store and he's like, hey, will you buy some booze for me?
Yes.
You would do that. You feel sorry for the kid.
Well, I'm more concerned about me. And I'm going to say that someone I know, and I'm not going to say who, because I don't want to embarrass that person. Someone I know worked at a 7-Eleven on the East Coast, and some kids came in and wanted to buy a beer, and this person felt sorry for those kids and let them slide. And literally, it was like the SWAT team jumped in there to take over.
That's like the movie Clerks, right?
Yeah, it was just like that.
It never crossed my mind before.
So what happened? So when you got arrested, you went to court and you got a public defender. And the public defender advised you to plead guilty.
No, what happened was, my mother knew a criminal attorney, and he said, this is your first offense, so I'm going to tell you what to say. We can either pay $350, this is 30 years ago.
30 years ago?
He said I can either tell you what to say, or I can go and represent you. So since I wasn't paying the dime, I said, well, you just tell me what, he goes, it's your first offense, no problem. Tell me what to say. So I had this all lined up what to say. So I got to the courthouse, and these other two people who were with me were supposed to show up. And one of them showed up, one of them didn't show up. And the other guy who showed up had a public defender. And the public defender said, well, you can just both go up together, which is wrong to the case. So we went up together, and the judge asked me, is this your first offense? I said, yes. And he asked the other guy, is this your first offense? And he said, no, it's my third offense. And he said, no, that's 30 days in jail or $2,500 bail.
Well, you got to have a lawyer. That's all I can say. When guys deal with these things, and I don't know that you're talking about something that happened to you a long time ago, what the bigger problem is, and I see this a lot, is guys plead guilty to something to get it over with. They don't want to spend any money on it, but then years later, it stops them from getting jobs that they want and professional advancement and licenses and all kinds of other problems that ends up ultimately costing a lot more money. That's the hassle, Tom.
Thanks a lot for the call, Ron. We appreciate it. We have more calls coming up here for attorney Adam Sachs. It's free legal advice for you in this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Just start dialing right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. 901-3000-866.
So, how do you like our
little internet project
now? 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Hey, where are you going to find songs you heard growing up that haven't been played to death by those so-called oldie stations? Pandorka? Stupefy? Yeah, problem. Nobody home? Give the New Normal's Great Big Radio a try. GBR plays the hits that sound great and the non-hits you thought you'd never, ever hear again. The hits and the songs that should have been. New Normal style. I'm Howard Hoffman, and you can yell at me live about our playlist weekdays at 4 p.m. East, 1 p.m. West. Not oldies. Oldies gone wrong. The New Normal presents
Great Big Radio.
24-7 at greatbigradio.com. Tune in and the Great Big Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at SlamDunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today and enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we are here with attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you so we don't run out of time.
No problem. Call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. I answer my own phone. You can also email me, adam@adamlawyer.com, or check my website, www.adamlawyer.com.
901-3000-TOM, that is our telephone number. John in Las Vegas, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Going great.
Adam, great stuff.
Hey, what's up?
I have a question, but it may not be criminal. I was wondering about unauthorized photographs on Facebook.
Unauthorized photographs, wow. You know, there was that selfie that happened at the Oscars, you know, where it was actually, we now know, a product placement for Samsung. Did you know that, Tom? Apparently.
Yes, oh yes, and now they took down Twitter with that.
Yes, yes, exactly. Ms. DeGeneres apparently uses Apple iPhone. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so she has the Samsung phone, and they hold it, but apparently it was Cooper, right, who took the picture. And a picture is actually the property of the person who takes it. Did you know that?
Oh.
So it's not who's in the picture. That's why when a celebrity is out in public and there's no expectation of privacy, you know, these paparazzi can take the picture and they own the picture and they can sell the picture, right? So when you talk about Facebook and a lot of other things on the internet have their own internal policies. And broadly speaking, this is under what's called the DCMA, which is the one of these digital copyright acts, you know. If it's your picture or it's something that you own or something that portrays you unfavorably or unfairly or whatever, most of the services have a method where you can complain about it, and you can say that it falls under the DCMA and it should be removed, or that you're the copyright owner and it's up without your permission. And broadly speaking, they work on it and they take it down.
I mean, okay. By the way, I'm going to disagree with you, Adam. I'm going to say that Facebook and YouTube do everything they can to not take stuff down.
It depends.
Well, let me tell you how they do it. You know, obviously, they have an ad attached to everything that's posted on YouTube, on Facebook, what have you. So they want to resist removing content. And so what they do in some cases, and we've had it with our own content, people taking and uploading episodes of our show, here's how they do it. You say, this is the Tom Likas Show. Here is my service mark and my federal registration. Here's the number. This is my show. This is my website. There's my terms of
service.
So you
went through the process I'm talking
with
about.
YouTube. I did it with YouTube.
Okay.
And here's what happens. They write back and they go, what number episode of the Tom Likas Show is it? What day and time was the show done? Now, it's clear when you listen.
Right.
That, first of all, you know the phone number we're using. It's not when we were working for CBS. It's the current. Usually the person has a picture of our logo or a picture of me, a cop from our website.
Right.
It was very easy to prove this is my show. It's the Tom Likas Show, and you're talking to Tom Likas. And I have a Gmail account, and I have website, and I've got federal registration. And they do everything they can to resist taking that stuff down.
So they nitpick you.
They do. And they try to get you to torture you into giving up your claim.
Wow.
That's what they do. So it is not as easy as it seems.
I'm not saying it was real easy.
It should be.
When you followed through, what happened?
There's still stuff up there that I was not able to get down. And the thing is, they're very inconsistent about it. Sometimes they take stuff down in no time at all. Other times they start to harass me and start asking me all these questions. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, I got to tell you, when I'm listening to a tape of my show that picks up in the middle of a show from 3 months ago, I don't know if it was Tuesday, the 16th of January, or Wednesday, the 7th day. It's the Tom Likas Show, and I own every minute of every segment of every show. I own the whole thing.
Right.
But why does it matter what episode it was or what number it was?
Wow.
But that's what they do. So trust me when I tell you, these companies, they make money selling ads when you post content. So when someone posts your stolen content, they don't want to take it down unless they've got a gun to their head.
Right.
And what are you going to do? Spend $10,000 on an attorney every time they refuse to take down 39 cents worth of content? It's crazy.
Well, you might have a legal thing against them, but it would be expensive to enforce.
Correct.
What happened? What happened to you? Someone posted something about you?
There was a picture posted a couple of years ago, and it was kind of humiliating. I didn't know about it. I've been told about it. I kind of don't want to disturb the waters because you know how everything falls way back into the pile, and it doesn't come up anymore. But you know what? Can you take action against the person that took the picture,
person
that posted it?
Of course. But like Tom said, you know, that could cost you a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can't even call Facebook. They, by the way.
Why should they call them?
So would you
I tried.
Just leave it alone?
Will you call the corporation, the headquarters?
Yeah, in Palo Alto. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
By the way, little secret, you know, Facebook just takes your information and monetizes it in every possible way.
Yes, of course.
They ask for your home phone number. I invite anybody to go to my Facebook page and call my home number. Go ahead. Call me at home.
Was it dial a joke?
No, it's Facebook's corporate number. Go ahead and call me.
You got personality, Tom. I like that.
Okay, Adam. Well, thank you very much, guys. I think I understand, and I guess I'm just going to leave it alone and not.
Well,
no. Here's what I would tell you. I would try to get it taken down, but don't expect them to be cooperative or to make it easy for you.
Well, he also said that it's from years ago, so maybe it like let the sleeping dogs lie or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, it's about three and a half years ago.
Yeah, that's not that bad. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, that thing they do now where they're trying to make it illegal, actually, where some guy was dating a woman and took nudes of her or whatever, and then after they break up, he starts posting it.
Oh,
they call that, like, revenge porn or whatever.
Yeah, but they're making laws against that stuff now.
Yeah. Far out.
Exactly.
I saw that thing that Gary talked about on the news where people are taking underage selfies or whatever. I mean, that's child pornography.
Yeah, but here's what's happening.
It's all over Instagram.
13-year-old girls are sending naked selfies to their 15-year-old boyfriend.
Jesus.
And the 15-year-old boyfriends are getting prosecuted for having child porn.
Yeah, and sending it to the whole school.
But they're
right?
both minors.
Unbelievable.
Oh,
jeez. Oh,
she sent it to him. Isn't she a child pornographer for sending it to him?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's
and it's her. Exactly. And, you know, if you just had that picture on your hard drive, you're already a criminal.
Right.
Just having it, even if you didn't mean to or whatever.
Well, how many times do you download an email? The email contains an attachment. Mm. I have thousands of emails.
Yeah.
Who knows what's attached to those emails? I have no idea.
Well, you don't want it to be a picture of a child.
No, I don't.
Sounds bad to me.
Jose in Koreatown, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello. How we doing? Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey,
Jose. How come you're not Korean? I don't get it.
Never mind.
Don't you know this? There's more Mexicans in Koreatown than Koreans.
All right.
That is true. Well, anyway, my question is in regards to...
By the way, if I were going out for the night in Koreatown, I wanted to have a nice, savory Cocker Spaniel. Where would I go?
Fedora and Olympic.
He had an answer. Look at that.
See that?
Yeah.
I don't know, Tom. You really want to eat Cocker Spaniel?
Actually, Koreans tell me that the best tasting dogs are mutts.
Oh, that's great.
Now, purebreds do not have as much meat.
Oh.
Not as juicy.
Too tough?
Not as tender.
I don't really want to eat dog. How about that?
By the way, we did a whole show about that one time. I asked people who've eaten dog to call in.
Yeah, what haven't you done a show on, Tom?
Well, I was curious about how do you eat it? Like steaks and chops? You go to the butcher and say, you know, I'd like some collie cutlets. How do you do that?
Oh,
and I was told that the way Koreans make dog is kind of a stew, kind of like beef stew.
Oh, that's nice.
And they drink soju with that. I got a full education.
Holy crap.
Really, really positive, Tom. Thank you for that.
Anyway, Jose, what can we do for you?
Well, anyway, I was going to take advantage of Adam right now because it just so happens that tomorrow I have to go to a probation officer. It's only a DUI that I got in 2002. It was in Ventura County. I was living in Koreatown at the time. And due
good
to
old, hardship, good old Ventura County.
Fucking shit. And, due to hardship, they took my car then. I didn't go back to court till 2010. So once I went back, I got prosecuted. Well, the public defender told me to plead guilty.
Now hold on a second. We just had this in the other call, okay? What the fuck, man? What's with the public defender? Come on. Are you kidding me?
And then I got laid off back in 2010 once I started trying to fix this. So everything got put on hold until just recently. And the public defender actually told me, you pled guilty on a 2002 DUI in 2010. Why'd you do that? Oh, because that's what the public defender told me to do. And she just looked at me like, well, all right, whatever. It's in the past. Can't fix it. But my question is this. My record is clean. That's the only thing that I have.
So your record is not clean. You have that.
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, besides this.
Okay.
In Ventura County.
I just committed one murder in 1989.
But my record's clean.
Other than that, it's clean.
I love it.
Well, anyway,
generally pretty clean. I mean, yeah.
My last felony was in 2002. After that, I stopped.
All right.
Well, there was a silver lining, you know what I mean? In 2010, they dropped everything to about 3 G's that I had to pay. And there was
Tom?
So I just...
Pleading guilty is expensive. Would you have to pay $3,000 in fines?
Yes. Yeah,
but look how much you saved on an attorney.
Yeah, give me that money, man. What do you want to pay fines for? I could have gotten the whole thing dismissed.
This is before, and this is you hear it all the time. Oh yeah, it was before I even knew about you guys.
Yeah, that was before. You know, my favorite is
known about you guys before.
That's before.
This wouldn't have happened.
That's before I was a Christian. That's my favorite.
I'm not a Christian.
No. But my favorite before is blah blah blah. Killed someone, but that's before I was a Christian.
Oh really? I haven't heard that one before.
That's my personal favorite.
Oh, wow.
All right,
anyway.
My
question is,
yes.
I'm at the probation. I have to go to a probation officer tomorrow.
You're still on probation?
For how much longer? No. I just went to court like about 2 or 3 weeks ago after 2010 because I got laid off. So I postponed it.
Is that illegal now?
So there's one out for me. You know what I mean?
I see. You blew it off.
I blew it off because it was a hardship. I got laid off. I couldn't pay the classes.
But last month, did you ever plead guilty?
I pled guilty in 2010.
All right, but you didn't do the classes. You didn't pay the fines.
I didn't do any of that.
Oh, that's bad. All right.
Well, so I returned.
You need a lawyer to sort that out. You
no, well, wait a minute. So I already got the process completely done. Well, maybe. What happened was, about 3 weeks ago, I decided, well, I have the money now to pay the fines. Let me go.
Right.
Because I want my license back. I've been without a license for like 12, 14 years now, since 2002.
Tom, give me a break, man. What's that? What's the value of that? Not having a driver's license?
Well,
yes.
You know, maybe, well, you know, the way I saw it was...
Not having a driver's license for 12 years.
I did it. I'm in Koreatown, dude. Everything is local. You know, I don't have to really go anywhere. So I didn't miss it,
you know?
And,
All right.
So, long story short, my question is this. I have to go to the probation officer, and they, you know, they have to fill out this paperwork. And one of the sheets is, okay, here you could write a comment on what to write, you know, what you want the courts to know about your case. And what. And I was like, well, this has been in 2002, 2010, and then now. And would there be anything wrong with leaving that page blank? Or is there something specifically that they're looking for me to put on that page?
No, just say that you're remorseful, I guess.
That's pretty much it? I mean...
Yeah, once your probation is over, give me a call, and I'll get your record expunged.
Yeah, that'll help. I was going to call you about that, too.
All right, well, you know what to do. We're going to put you in touch with that. But we're going to move on to Joe in Vegas on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
All right. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. I have a question, and this is, I know laws vary from state to state, but
sure.
When you get to a DUI checkpoint, could you give any pointers on how to deal with that?
Well, you know, it's amazing to me, you know, I've seen a lot of these checkpoints, and they put a big sign, you know, that there's a checkpoint coming up. And if you're drunk, why don't you turn the fuck around
by
and drive away?
By the way, I've been in the car with somebody I direct. He was supposed to be driving me, but he had as much to drink as I did, and he was the driver. So I said, hey, checkpoint coming up, you should turn. He did, and avoided the checkpoint. But now, at least in Santa Barbara County, they're going after what they call turnaways or turnoffs. They're chasing people like that.
That's not nice.
That's what they're doing.
That's not
so
nice.
So if you try to turn off right before the checkpoint, they're going to get you.
They used to do that down south with drug checkpoints.
Well,
if you turn on the exit, they'd stop you.
You know that you don't have to roll down your window, right? You don't have that thing. You know, you can try to basically minimize the whole thing. But what exactly is your question? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well,
exactly?
My question is this. At this point, you're at a point where you really, if you were to turn around, they're going to stop you. And if not, they're going to stop you anyways. You know, I just had one of those last Halloween here, and I'm sober. I don't drink and drive, and that's a good thing. But the point is, I treat it like an audit. I don't talk
course,
too much.
Of course.
Just answer the questions.
By the way,
know?
There's there's no doubt about that at all. I mean, you do not do it. You do not yak with cops. Cops are not your friends. People are very confused about what the police officer is there to do. And what they're trying to do, would be a good night for them, would be arresting you. Okay?
Of course.
So, you know, that's something that's going to affect your life. And for them, that's just, you know, another arrest that evening. So, broadly speaking, you should lower your window only about a halfway, you know, because that limits what's called plain sight, which is what they can just see by looking through the window.
Sure.
And minimum high officer, they say to you, you know, where are you going or whatever? You say, I'm driving home, or you don't even have to answer. And you just try, you know, this thing where you get into conversations with cops, I think that's remarkable. Mm. They're not, you know, they have a job to do, and I respect that, but their job is to lock you up.
I understand that. My only question is, you know, how to try to effectively minimize it, because if you were to sit there and not open the window, I have a feeling it would just make matters worse.
Well, I saw one. No, I saw one where the guy wouldn't open the window and he wasn't really cooperative, and the cop had a dog, and they had the dog, like, scratch the paint. They had the dog scratch everything, and they really did kind of a little nasty to get even with the guy. So that's definitely a factor. But
question. No, go ahead. I just how do you put the dog on the scent? What's, you know, how have they ever rated what dogs are for accuracy? I mean,
no, the dog is just sort of alerting them. You heard that caller before where the guy was in a situation where he was sober, but he was in a car full of drunk people. And so they smelled alcohol, and he's telling them, yeah, of course you smell alcohol. I'm the designated driver. Here are my 5 drunk friends, you know, but I'm the one driving, and everything's fine. And you see how if they're spiteful, they're spiteful. And ultimately they compelled him to do a breathalyzer, and then it was zero. And we heard of a story, Tom, recently, as I recall, in Burbank, where they stopped hundreds of people, wasted everybody's time, and didn't even make one arrest. As I recall, so.
Oh, I was in Burbank and I saw him tase a kid. Well, I didn't actually see him tase him out at the, was it the Empire Mall out there by the airport?
Oh, wow.
Well, and they had cop cars and paramedics and fire engines, and I'm like, what's going on? And some kid had taken a DVD out of Target, and then they held him. And when the cops got there, he tried to run. And they tased him, and it probably caused. Who knows how much tech.
You know that they have situations where the police took people on high speed chases and ended up running over someone on a bicycle or whatever, you know? So there's always that thing, and I really think that we got confused because what we have gotten into with drunk driving and drugs and a lot of other factors is morality, that we're trying to make people moral, make people not take drugs and so forth and not drink to excess. And I think it's always a failure when the government gets involved in that. And I'm with Tom. I don't know if I call myself a libertarian with the lowercase l, but I really think that it's a big waste of society's energy and that, you know, all drugs should be legal. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt. Mike in San Marcos, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey. Hey, Mike. What's up?
Hey, so I heard you mention expungements earlier, and
sure.
I figured I got to call in.
My personal favorite.
I recently applied for a job with one of the big Indian casinos.
Okay.
And on the application, one of the questions says, have you ever had your record expunged before?
Right.
And I'm wondering, since they're a sovereign nation, do they somehow have the power to find out whether I've had my record expunged?
Well,
and
right.
Should I answer that question?
Have you had it expunged? And what happened?
Yeah, it was over 10 years ago. It was a second-degree burglary.
But did you actually get it expunged, or do you just think it went after 10 years?
No, I actually got expunged.
Oh, okay. You know, what ends up happening a lot of the time is that, you know, people have these things floating around, like, you know, from 10 years ago, and they didn't really think about it, and they apply for a job, and then all of a sudden, you know, it comes up, and it comes to mess them up and stop their career from progressing. Broadly speaking, the theory of an expungement is no fooling around. It's an expungement is removing what happened, literally canceling it and erasing it. And so you could literally say, you know, even, you know, if I was guilty or whatever, I'm not now, it's gone, you know, it's been erased. And so when you talk about this, they're asking you a very, very specific question. And they're saying to you, you know, did you ever have something expunged? And, you know, you may have to just say yes. What can I say? I mean, it's a possibility that if you lie to your employer, later on they're going to find out about it and they'll fire you.
Of course, in that case, then, what would be the point of an expungement if somebody can ask you and you have to answer honestly?
The problem is that if you mislead them on the application, they're going to use it against you later, maybe, if they find out the truth. You know, everything's out there in the computers and so forth, and an expungement is a great thing.
Yep.
You can say that you were, you know, never convicted and it was expunged. But it is probably still out there in computer records somewhere.
Example, the one time I was ever arrested, I will never bother to have it expunged because it's on the smoking gun.
Fucking internet.
100,000 different places on the internet.
I heard you're a celebrity, Tom. That's why.
So
serves you right.
Everybody knows.
That's the price of fame.
No secret. I was arrested in 1993, 21 years ago. Okay? In case you're curious. That's my entire criminal record. Done.
How do we make it go away?
You don't. You have to take down the whole internet.
On the other hand, you're not trying for a job, right? Here, this guy is trying to...
No, I have my own business.
Yes, I see, but this guy's trying to get a job at an Indian casino, so maybe they want him to have some kind of security, or he's going to be handling money, or who knows. So if they find out that he has a prior conviction, even if he got it expunged, that might kill him anyway.
Right.
That's why he shouldn't have pled guilty and used a public defender. Ick.
Susan in Escondido, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Calls are pouring in here. Hello?
Hey, Susan.
Hi. Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I first time ever listening to your show. And
really? Welcome to the show.
So first time listener, first time caller. Thank you. So I have a question in regards to the red light ticket. I got a red light ticket, you know, with one of those picture cameras.
Right.
And I yeah, I did go into court and, you know, never had a ticket or anything.
Oh,
so
no.
I pled guilty and they gave me a fine. Yeah, so anyway.
You know, I fight those.
You what?
I fight those and I win every time, you know?
I didn't even know that you could, since they had the picture and the judge is saying, your picture is right here. And I'm going, okay, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, but who took the picture?
So, yeah, so I said, okay, yeah, I'm guilty. Fine.
No, but who took the picture? Wait a second. Who took the picture?
A camera.
I want to confront my accuser. Constitution says I have a right to confront my accuser. I can't confront a camera.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you went and pled guilty, and what's the fine? I'm afraid to hear.
And $500. $537.
Did you know that in a lot of places in Los Angeles County and elsewhere in Arizona, they're actually getting rid of those things because they're not accurate and they're not fair.
Yeah, they actually got rid of them here in Escondido.
They got rid of them in the city of Los Angeles, but not in the city of West Hollywood.
Right.
So if you have the misfortune of having to drive up Fairfax Avenue, as you know, you pass through L.A., followed by West Hollywood, followed by L.A., if you're going north on Fairfax Avenue.
Right.
So some parts of Fairfax have cameras and some don't.
Right.
Okay. So here's my thing, though. They gave me a $537 fine, which I thought was due in May. So I opened a letter today to find out that my ticket was actually due March 3rd.
So you didn't pay it
on
time.
And now they're
so now it's $2,000.
A $300 charge added.
Wow.
I have a suspended license.
Nice.
And there's a warrant.
Oh, no. Oh, very nice.
My first time.
That's the
Quinella.
Yeah, so
here's my question, though.
The beauty of it is, if you go to court now, you'll be arrested because of the warrant.
Really?
Isn't that nice?
Okay, so there's nothing I can do anymore. I just need to pay.
No, you better let me fix that one for you.
Really?
What we've seen, I don't know if this happened to you, 300, but we saw tickets where it went from 300 to 2,000 all of a sudden.
Wasn't that my ticket, Adam?
Oh, yes, that's right. I wasn't going to say who. I was going to be nice.
Well, we already talked about it. It's not a secret.
Have a little bit of discretion here.
I had a fix-it ticket because I didn't have my insurance card in the car.
Insurance card of $200.
Right.
And then it became $2,000 or $1,800.
Something. I mean, it was hidden from the collection agency.
Yeah, I don't think they did. They suspend your license? I don't think that they went that
far. If they did, I didn't know.
The problem with driving with a suspended license.
My license is suspended.
Yes, but you got to realize that that's a serious offense. So if you get pulled over now, you're driving with a suspended license, and then they'll really go after you. That's nasty. They can have that as a wobbler. They could charge you as a felony for doing that.
Okay, so is my only choice to pay for it?
No, I think you need a lawyer to sort that one out. I would go, and I would get the fines taken off and get the basic thing back if I can, and that'll end up saving you a lot of money. Paying, you know, thousands and hundreds and extra fines and whatnot is not a very good idea.
Dean will hook you up, Susan. We'll have Dean talk to you and get you in touch with Adam, and he can help you fix this.
Happy to help you.
By the way, a warning, and I mentioned this on a show previously. Speaking of suspended licenses and things you can get pulled over for, I own 4 vehicles, and I only recently found out that 2 of the vehicles had the wrong license plates.
No way.
Yes. And so here's what happened. I was driving one of my vehicles, which was my FJ Cruiser, my green FJ Cruiser. It had a license plate that the DMV had no record of, and my registration card had another license plate that I'd never seen before.
For God's sake.
Then I had another vehicle.
Only you, Tom.
It had the license plate that belonged on the FJ Cruiser.
Oh, my. How did that happen?
The thing is, when I bought these cars, I put the plate on when it came in, and I bought them a year apart.
So in California, you get the plate in the mail, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So the thing is, it's not like I was playing games and swapped plates or something, because one of the plates did not even show up on either of my registrations. So I got the plate and I put it on my truck. But here's what I never did. And if you, they always include your insurance card with your plates. Be sure to check your registration and make sure that the plate designated on the registration is the plate, the number on your license plate. Because the DMV made two mistakes with me in this regard.
Even if I found it wasn't, what the hell would I do?
I was driving around. I could have been pulled over, and you know what happens when you're driving around with
a car.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right. So I didn't even know it.
So you're paying for registration for a car with plates that's not even plates?
Do you know how lucky I was not to have been pulled over for, speeding or, light problems?
Sometimes when a cop is just driving behind you or near you, he can punch in your plate while you're, driving along. He's got that computer right there going on.
Wow.
So he would have typed in your plate. He would have said, no registration behind this plate. He would have pulled his gun on you, Tom.
I had no idea.
How bizarre.
I had to go to DMV and spend the better part of a morning. And the people at DMV, of course, are very touchy.
Yeah, they had no idea whatsoever what you were talking about.
Nobody likes them to begin with. And when you show that they've been incompetent, they start saying, it says here you were here in the summer of 2012 and you asked the license plate to be changed. Why would I do that? What do you think I am, like a car thief? I was trying to change plates or something? This is the same plate I've had on this vehicle since I bought it. Oh, no.
That's strange.
Yeah. Last call here, Danny in Donna, Texas. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Danny. What's up?
I've always wondered, if you get arrested and they want to take your mugshot, and, it's not a for sure thing. Can you ask for a lawyer before you take the mugshot? Because if you can get off, they'll sell these mugshots to these magazines and stuff.
Yeah, there are companies that buy them, yeah. There's a website, I think.
I think it's called mugshots.com.
But that's celebrities. There's also one that just has regular people's.
Yeah, and they wipe their hands clean.
No, but they did. They were guys.
All innocent
Yeah, of course. But there were guys that got arrested for being with prostitutes, and they were trying to shame them by posting their pictures in subway cars and on billboards and so forth. And the right that you have, generally speaking, when you're arrested, is the right to have an attorney present during questioning. That's the key. And so this thing, about asking for an attorney and so forth, that's fine, but that's to have an attorney present during your questioning. And so, meanwhile, they have a process that they do where they do psychometrics on you. They take your height and maybe your weight, and they take your fingerprints, and they take your picture. And broadly speaking, you have got to cooperate. So it's really, really going to be a long shot for you to avoid the picture. And then, like you say, there are these companies that post them online and so forth. Once again, even if you're innocent, that picture is part of the public record. It's going to be very difficult to get it back or suppress it or whatever. So I don't know if that's a really good idea that you're going to be able to do that. I don't think that's going to work.
So you can't deny also that you don't want to take the picture. They can make you take the picture?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to take the picture.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. You could ask them, I don't want to take the picture, but they're doing the procedure. They're getting you in there, and if they're arresting you, there are things they have to do. And that's going to be...
Are they selling the photo?
No, I don't think they're selling them. I think they're public domain. I think they're public records and so forth. That's how they get them online. Okay. They have pictures of Larry King when he got arrested or whatever. Same thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks. Can y'all take me out, Dino's answering machine followed by a shotgun and then, Freddie Wilhite?
Well, yes, we certainly can, Danny. Here you go.
You are the biggest asshole I've ever met in my entire life. Your Likas 101 shit is completely retarded. Okay. You just got lucky, hon. Let me tell you, it will never happen again.
I shot my wife in the stomach with 38.
Why did he do this?
She enticed me, and she ridiculed me throughout my lifetime. I'll see if she's alive.
She's alive? She's dead.
I think she's dead.
Love that. All right, Adam, tell them again how they can get in touch with you.
No problem. Give me a call toll-free, 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320.
And does this guy answer his phone? Holy crap.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he absolutely does.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Gotcha.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine. A Pennsylvania woman allegedly seeking revenge against her husband by posing, or rather posting, nude pictures of his new girlfriend online. I guess the new girlfriend's teenage daughter actually discovered the pictures.
Mom?
Well,
got some news for you.
Yeah, this is how she do.
Yeah.
It's really
she
good.
Really got revenge.
Yeah, I know it.
Oh, Jesus.
A former teacher has pleaded guilty to a disorderly conduct for posting nude pictures of herself online.
Yeah.
I guess surfaced from her cell phone. She said they were stolen, and then she said actually they were just intended for her husband. It's a Christian academy.
Yeah.
They don't look
ooh, she looks
kindly
good,
upon that.
I'd like to see
I
that.
Know. It, by the way, just do a little Google search of her name, and you'll see that she does the hand bra thing, and she's like kind of covering her nips with her hands.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Our girl.
Yeah, she's not half bad. She had to resign, of course.
Oh, yeah, we covered this story in November. That's right. That's why this girl looks so good.
I don't know why is this disorderly conduct?
I have no idea. But the incident actually happened in November.
Right.
And when the Christian thing, they found out, they didn't like it.
Yeah. Three teenagers being charged with soliciting naked selfies of underage teen girls to post on Instagram. We're talking about two boys, aged 13 and 14, and a girl, aged 15, apparently had gotten their hands on 50 nude photos and posted them across multiple Instagram accounts.
Wow. All they did was ask.
That's all
they shall receive.
That's all they did. By the way, authorities say this goes on constantly. You apparently just need to know the right Instagram accounts, and there's a ton of shit out there like this. I mean, it's pretty goddamn amazing. 50 pictures.
And they just...
I guess chicks are down with taking selfies. No matter what age. It seems pretty crazy to me.
Wow.
Yep.
50. And they just asked. And they stunned
receipt. Don't get any ideas. That's highly illegal.
I'm marveling at the simplicity of the request and then the return on investment.
Dude, send me a naked picture.
Wow.
Boom. Done. And the interesting part is the involvement of the 15-year-old girl also soliciting the pictures. It's not just two horny dudes.
Yeah, they got the girl to help out.
That's how they build the chicks these days. That's how they do. Hey, Sexbox is coming to the United States. We've talked about this. It's a show in the U.K. where couples have sex in a box, and they come out, and then they talk about the sex right on television. This is where it happens.
Sexbox.
Yes. And so WeTV has ordered a one-hour pilot to come here.
How are they
going to
pull this off?
It's a big wooden box.
Oh, you can't see
in a wooden box. No.
Oh.
You can't see it.
Especially like with the WeTV, you know it's not going to be that good.
No, I mean, it's probably going to be a total piece of shit, but, you know, who cares? This is how TV is now.
Well, we can't come up with any of our own ideas here in the United States, as far as television, so we always take other people's ideas. When it's a hit overseas, we bring it here and then ruined it.
Right.
Right, Top Gear?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we did, in my opinion. You know, the original is the original. Then you got to throw those goofballs on there, and then, you know. It's nicely
Adam's
done, though.
All right, but I don't think he's cut out for the show, but that's me.
Yeah. No, you like the big fat guy with the beard.
I do. Yeah. I really do. You would think I would like the Dago on
NASCAR
there, but I don't like the Dago on there.
Right.
He just is there for comedy. And
yeah, and he's not funny.
right?
No, he's not.
No, I know. It doesn't really
he
work.
He does all the typical stuff where he has to drive the Cadillac and all that. No.
Yeah. A Joliet, Illinois school teacher and coach posted bond Monday night after appearing in court on charges of having sex with an underage female student. Two of them banged 10 times. 10.
Wow.
She was just days away from turning 18, apparently. Days away. Could not wait. Got
to
get him with the 1-7.
Way
you know
go.
What I'm saying?
Way to go, dope.
You want to do that. Finally, a pick alert for you. I'm so tired of Nicki Minaj. Is anybody excited about pictures of her anymore?
I couldn't name a single track by her, but I have seen more pictures of her in a bikini than...
Right. We've all seen her tits. I mean, everybody's seen them 100 million times.
Yeah, and her gigantic booty.
Right, and that too. Do we really need to see any more? Where is she taking these pictures anyway? Mexico?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Nicki Minaj has lowered her ass on Mexico.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just find it boring at this point. Plenty more news for guys.com. Okay. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Yay!
Check out our podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Brand new show every Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas show right after this.
On this show, I love talking about how to save money. Well, here's one great way to save some money. If you need insurance, Coslo Insurance is the place to go to get the best deal. That's COSTLO, Coslo. Independent, family-owned and operated since 1965, big fans of our show, and they're just great people. You know, when I was having trouble getting my Tesla Model S insured, and I was having trouble, Coslo got the job done, quick, easy. Total pleasure to deal with. Are you kidding? I'm so proud to be insured through Coslo. I think it's great. Now, you really should give them a call. Get a free, no-obligation quote at this number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CosloInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Now, they represent lots of A-plus rated insurance companies, and they'll work with you to get the right protection at the right price. For property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance, it's 818-707-7711. Competitive rates for all risks, from DUIs to spotless driving records, from basic liability to comprehensive full coverage policies. Do what I did. Call 818-707-7711 or visit Coslo.com today. Coslo, COSTLO.
This is the new normal.